This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Hey,
you know it's
Taz and Moose.
You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey. You know where you're at. It's Tuesday morning. Taz and the Moose with you, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We'll get back to everything else. We got the three coming your way later on in the program as we take it right up until 9 o'clock on this Tuesday morning. Let's welcome aboard right now Tom Pecora, Associate Head Coach for Quinnipiac, joins us now. Hey, Coach, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes, man.
Coach, what's up?
Hey, what's happening, fellas? How are we doing this morning?
Doing well. What was a great championship game last night, Coach? I mean, you couldn't ask anything more with a men's title on the line.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, for a coach, you know, we're always thinking about ways to touch your team, touch your players. I mean, obviously a tale of redemption for Virginia after last year's first-round loss. And I'm sure there's coaches all over the country meeting with their teams the next day or so, and they're going to talk to them about how you respond to what happens to you in your life. How do you respond to failure? That dictates greatness, you know. And for them to come back and not lay down and just fall apart after last year, granted they didn't have DeAndre Hunter in that game, but to lose to a 16 seed and then to be able to be on this mission and win so many close games moving forward. I think it was really impressive. Not only their wins, but the way they found ways to win. Their will to win was off the charts.
Hey, Coach, yeah, really speak on that, because Moose and I were talking earlier about Tony Bennett and how great of a job he's done because of that, you know, what happened last year against UMBC and you know, in that first round. And now, you know, we talked about that last week, too. Like, and maybe you could speak on it from your expertise, how you use that. If you're Tony Bennett and you hope it works, but you use that loss as a motivational tool to keep the kids driven all year round, correct?
Yeah, no doubt. And he's done an incredible job. Tony Bennett, obviously one of the premier coaches in America. And, you know, when he got hired at Virginia, there were a lot of people that questioned the hire. They, you know, Midwest guy, but he had had success out at Washington State, and they didn't know that could translate back to the ACC and to the East Coast. And, you know, he's done an incredible job there with him. But I think the way he sends his message is very interesting. You know, he's not a fire and brimstone guy. He'll get up and into them a little bit. But, you know, he recruits a profile of kid that's intelligent, understands where he's coming from and how he motivates. And obviously for him to be able to do this over the course of a year and then to keep them locked in and hungry. You know, this is the time of the year when the season ends for most college teams. You know, you're back doing individual instruction and stuff that like that this week, the next 3 weeks until you get into your finals, and then the summer workouts, and then through the fall. It's a 12-month-a-year gig now. This isn't put the balls away, we'll see you next October. So to keep them that motivated this long and to continue to get better, they grew as a team. The players have just grown and become great, great players.
You know, before we get into the performance of Hunter here, Coach, you know, down three, as good of a coach as Beard is, and we'll get to the job that he's done at Texas Tech, what happens on that offensive set, on the penetration, where they leave DeAndre Hunter, who was hot from the outside, wide open for a game-tying three late?
Yeah, now look, Chris Beard, that's a Bobby Knight defensive clinic, the way he runs his defense, the way they handle ball screens. And they tag rollers, all the things that they do. So what happens, guys, is when you're a great defensive team, the amount of repetition that goes into the way you play certain scenarios, it's an everyday thing. Then you need to make adjustments late in games in that scenario. On dribble penetration up three, everyone should be in a stay situation where you're just staying in front of your man at the three-point line. However, you've done thousands and thousands of weak side help, load in, bump the roll man out of the pick and roll, and then recover to the corner, and that's what the young man does. He just goes back to that. He doesn't stay locked in, and you feel for him because they're a tremendous defensive team. But in that one moment, he felt it was important to get to Jerome, and Ty Jerome has become, you know, he's a first-round draft pick, the kid from New Rochelle. and he makes a great play and sells him on coming to help and then puts a pass right on his numbers that allows him to knock it down from the corner. So I felt for the poor kid on the closeout.
You're listening to Taz and Moose right now. Our special guest is Tom Pecora, Quinnipiac Men's Basketball Associate Head Coach. Hey, Coach, talk about an OT in overtime where Virginia, they went 12-for-12 from the line in overtime, man, to ice the game. Talk about that pressure right there and showing the heart and toughness of those kids and that Cavalier team to go 12-for-12 at the line.
Yeah, well, both teams, when you look at their field goal percentage, I mean their free throw shooting percentage, rather, at the end of the game, they kept themselves hanging around. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter what level
right.
you play the game of basketball on. If you make free throws, you make layups, and you guard a little bit, you're going to be in most games. And, you know, free throws, there's times you can't make a jumper for a stretch, but you're getting to the foul line, and which is difficult against both these teams. One of the things about both Virginia and Texas Tech are, what makes them exceptional defensive teams is they're not fouling every possession either. So it's not just a team that's incredibly physical and they're up in you. Their technique is great, and generally they don't send you to the foul line that much. But Virginia obviously got some opportunities late in the overtime to get some extra free throws, but they got up over 20 free throw attempts, and that was the difference. It was a 7-point difference to the foul line.
Coach Hunter, you know, he had not had a great tournament run, was not healthy last year when they lost to Maryland, Baltimore County. He was huge last night. The big three, you mentioned Jerome, Kyle Guy did his job as well. But Hunter, you know, I'm thinking about the big rebound and putback, even though he missed the free throw to make it a 59-51 game, was shooting the ball well. I mean, DeAndre, he played like a lottery selection last night. And anytime they need a big shot, I felt like he was there to make it.
No doubt. And he is a lottery, you know, on everyone's lottery chart right now. Yeah, a young guy. And once again, I think it's a perfect example of grinding through it. And you know, this is one of the things all the NBA scouts, when they're looking, it's no different. Look, I go to a high school game. I don't want to go watch a kid play when I know his team's going to win by 30. I want to go to a game when his team might lose. I want to see how that young guy responds when his team is down. What is he like with his teammates? Does he have the ability to make shots in tough situations? Well, that translates up to the college level as well. And DeAndre Hunter came out. I mean, you guys, the first 10 minutes of that game, that was like a heavyweight boxing match where they were just feeling each other out. And everybody's sitting there saying, oh, boy, it's going to be like 21-10 at the half or 21-15 at the half. And then they both got their mojo going, especially him, made some shots, and he's a rhythm shooter, but he's got great range, and he has the ability to make shots with people draped on him. And that's when you go to the next level and you watch NBA basketball, that's what they all have, the ability to make shots that are very difficult.
Hey, Coach, the job that Chris Beard's doing there with the Red Raiders, I mean, he's been there for a couple of years, and I think 2016 he came in. You know, Moose and I were talking about it a lot. Pretty remarkable stuff. I mean, you see this guy staying there a long time and, you know, wanting to stay there, building some, you know, a dynasty, then repeating. I don't think it seems like this program is, it kind of feels like it's here to stay. I mean, what's your thoughts on it?
I think he will, and I think a lot's changed in our business. And first in Chris's, he was winning at Arkansas Little Rock years back. I remember we were doing scheduling when I was the head coach at Hofstra at Fordham, and you'd look at you know, Little Rock, and someone would say, "No, we don't want to go to that tournament. You don't want to go near that team."
Mm.
You know, his reputation preceded him in our business. I think the other thing that happens now is you can make a great living at multiple places. You know, 20, 30 years ago, there were only a handful of jobs in college basketball that really paid, and guys would leave and pursue those jobs. I mean, think about it. UCLA is sitting here now, and they can't find
yeah.
it. You know, so, I mean, the world has changed drastically. I think he's a Texas kid. He likes that area. I know they can take care of him financially, and by this run, I'm sure he'll be, you know, he's an icon there, and he should have the opportunity to stay as long as he likes. You know, but once again, we also know this business. You don't win, all of a sudden it shines off the penny a little bit, and anything can happen. But I think he's a great fit there, the kind of kids he can bring into Texas Tech. And, you know, he's got that defensive mentality, and I think it's easier for him to recruit that kind of kid at a school like a Texas Tech.
You know, Coach, one of his stars, obviously, is Jarrett Culver, who didn't play all that well last night. 5 of 22 from the floor, finished the game with 15 points, better offensively in half number two than he was in half number one, where I think he just finished with 3 points. What about what you saw from Culver? Now, it seemed like at times he was pressing a little bit to kind of find his range, his game. We know he's an NBA stud. We know he's a lottery pick. He's got that kind of grade on him and what he can do, and he's a willing defender. What did you see? They needed more offensively from Culver last night in order to pull out that win, and they just didn't get it.
Exactly right. I think the fact that they could get to overtime and play a team as good as Virginia without him having just an average night for him. He had a below average night. If he has an average night or an exceptional night, they probably win that game. Look, he's a fine player. At times you can see that he might have gotten a little tight trying to take some rough shots or shots early in the clock just to try to get his mojo going. But he'll go into NBA workouts and they'll see him pre-draft. And once again, I'm sure if you're not he's a first round level player. It's just hard when you see these young guys who've had these great years and then on the biggest stage, things don't come together for him, but I think he's got a fine career ahead of him and a great future.
You know, Coach, you're at Quinnipiac right now as the associate head coach, and you had success at Hofstra. You coached at Fordham as well. There's potentially reportedly an opening here in New York locally at St. John's, with reports are that Mullen and St. John's are going to part ways. What about that Johnny's job? You know, how attractive of a job is that?
Well, I still, being born and bred in New York, I think it's an attractive job. I think until it's done, I really hope Chris stays. I mean, until this is totally official, I would hope that Chris stayed. I mean, I think it was so exciting for New York basketball, New York college basketball, when he came back. I think New York college basketball has lost its way a little bit. It's not what it once was, and not just at St. John's, but just the way everybody is embracing it. The amount of coverage we get, the amount of local kids that leave, a lot more leaving the New York area now than they did in years past. So I'm born and raised in Queens. I was sneaking into St. John's games when I was 10 years old. So, we used to go in with a ticket, the stub from the game before, and the ushers in the back would just wink at you and let you in because they knew what you were up to, but they knew you were a little guy and wanted to see the game. So I think that they're always going to be able to get quality, high-level candidates for that job.
Coach, you sound perfect for it. You sound perfect. Come on, what are we doing?
Yeah, no, that ship has sailed, boys. Now I sit here and I make suggestions.
Attaboy.
And I'm good at that. Maybe a little zone, kid. I still think it's a very appealing job. And, you look at the game last night. Ty Jerome, it's funny. When I was at Fordham, we had a team camp. We had Ty Jerome, Eric Pascal from Villanova, and Matty Ryan, who went to Notre Dame and is now at Vanderbilt, and they were all going into ninth grade. And I remember offering them scholarships. Ty Jerome, his basketball IQ as an eighth grader was like off the charts. I said, I don't know how, at the time I never thought he'd see 6'5", but that kid can play for us, and he could probably play at a lot of places. And obviously Eric's gone on and had a great career, as Matt has. So, you get good players and you keep them at home, you can definitely win big at St. John's.
You know, Coach, I'm just curious, what do you see, in an eighth grader, ninth grader? I mean, when you're watching Ty Jerome there, you mentioned his basketball IQ is off the charts, and, you're offering him. What did you recognize? What did you see in a kid that young?
Well, his dad, Mark, is a good player in the Patriot League, and obviously he had taught him well. He's got a younger brother who's a great player now as well. But the pace that he played the game at, he never got sped up. He had a great feel. He always made the right pass. He didn't turn the ball over. He was a rising ninth grader. He's going to go into ninth grade. He's playing against guys that are juniors and seniors. But even though they might have been bigger physically and a little bit stronger, He didn't get rattled. He just had a great, great feel for the game. And that's something that the special players have. They always say great players see the game in slow motion. And it was almost like that in this little body of this young, this young kid. And then you have the physical specimen, Eric Pascal, who also had a good feel for the game. He was at the same camp, and he was just a monster athletically. The great story with that, my son, who at the time was about 10, was watching one of the team games at team camp, and Eric was playing it, and I went over and I said, "Hey, Sean, what do you think?" And he said, "Daddy, this kid's too good to play with these other guys." And I said, "Yeah, we all think we're great recruiters. He's a 10-year-old. He can pick out the best player on the court, right?" Yeah. So what do we really know? It's funny stuff. But I'm thrilled for Ty and his family. They're just a wonderful group of people, and I'm really happy for the young man.
You know, and Coach, we'll close out the conversation here. You know, circle back to UVA and Virginia and what they're able to do. And we all know how good of a coach, you know, Bennett is. And obviously his dad playing for his dad, and we saw Dick in attendance last night out in Minneapolis. But, I mean, from your perspective, having been there, doing it, to build that team back up after where they were a year ago, you mentioned it's a year-round job. I get it. But to have that kind of, as each and every one of the guys talked about the embarrassment, being a laughingstock around the country after that loss, what about that psychological buildup from Bennett?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think, you know, people on the outside looking in, see, you know, might use that term laughingstock. I mean, in our business, we understand that can happen any night. And when you look at the course of a season, you know, there's teams that lose non-conference games to teams that are there's a great gap between them, supposedly in level of play and conference and things of that nature. But man, you know, I work for Rolly Massimino, and he used to tell us all the time, "Hey fellas, if winning was easy, everybody would do it."
Right.
And, you know, every night you go out and you treat every opponent the same exact way. You prepare for them the same way. You go about your business the same way, and you better respect them. And if you don't, you can get bit. And I'm not saying they didn't respect them last year. I think they ran into a buzzsaw. UMBC was a really good team. They had a fifth-year player that dominated the game. And that whole dynamic of fifth-year players has really changed the landscape of college basketball. The young guy Mooney, who's playing for Texas Tech, is a great example of that. You know, so I don't think that it was as much a laughingstock as much as it's pride as a competitor. You know, these young guys have great pride, and as do the coaching staff. You're there to compete every night, and I think that's the heartstrings that he played on. I think he played on their competitive nature. How competitive a person are you? Are you competitive enough to go out every day and become a better player so this never happens again to our team? And obviously he did a magnificent job with it.
Hey, Coach, we always appreciate your perspective. Thanks a lot. We appreciate, and thanks again for joining us this morning. Have yourself a good Tuesday, all right?
Thanks, Coach.
All right, guys. Pleasure. Thanks.
You got it. And that's Tom Pecora, associate head coach out there in Quinnipiac, and gave you a good feel reacting to the national championship game last night out in Minneapolis that went UVA's way over Texas Tech. We got the three coming your way next. It's Taz and Moose on a Tuesday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, it's Brandon Tierney. Be sure to listen to CBS Sports Radio on the go. Download the radio.com app and favorite CBS Sports Radio today.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico, go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you can save 15% or more on car insurance. What's going on, Andrew?
They see me mowing my front lawn. I know they're all thinking I'm so wide and nerdy.
This report is sponsored by Wrangler Outdoor Pants and Shirts made with durable fabrics, moisture management, and UPF 30 protection. Wrangler Outdoor, clothing with outdoor credibility and everyday versatility. Try them on today. 388 days ago, Virginia took the loss nobody wanted. Now they have the win everyone dreams of.
6 seconds to go. Mooney up the floor. Three on the left wing. That is no good. Rebound pulled down by DeAndre Hunter. And they're going to dribble it out from ruin to redemption. The Virginia Cavaliers are the 2019 NCAA National Champions.
Kevin Kugler on the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network in 85-77 overtime decision over Texas Tech in Minneapolis just over a year since losing to 16-seed UMBC. Last night wouldn't have happened without that heartbreak, says head coach Tony Bennett.
I don't know of anything else that would allow these guys to be able to handle this situation and to play through stuff and to have a perspective and a poise and resiliency unless they went through something that hard.
It is the first national title in program history. It denies number one for Texas Tech. UVA led by 10 midway through the second half, but needed DeAndre Hunter's three with 12 seconds left to get to overtime. Then Hunter put them ahead for good with another three with 2 minutes left in that extra period. Hunter missed his first 7 shots, by the way, but finished with a career-high 27 points, 24 from Kyle Guy. He's the Final Four most outstanding player. The coaching news doesn't stop either. Rick Barnes is staying at Tennessee after seriously considering UCLA, and Chris Mullin reportedly stepping down at St. John's, maybe over issues with new AD Mike Cragg. Baltimore Oriole Chris Davis now owns the longest hitless stretch ever for a position player, 0-49, dating back to last September. His manager, Brandon Hyde.
Hit 3 balls in the nose, and first 3 at-bats were really good, so I'm taking that as a positive.
Whatever you need. Davis put the ball in play his first 3 times up, then struck out his last 2, all in a 12-4 home win over the A's. The Mariners smacked the Royals 13-5, 5 more homers for Seattle, giving them 32, the most any team has hit over its first 12 games. The Astros rallied past the Yankees 4-3, the Angels down the Brewers 5-2, the Padres a 6-5 come from behind win at San Francisco, the Braves held off the Rockies 8-6 in Colorado, and the Dodgers 5-game win streak ends 4-3 in St. Louis. Cubs lefty John Lester going to get an MRI today after leaving yesterday afternoon start with left hamstring tightness. Lester did not sound too worried postgame. Guys?
All right, thanks, Andrew. Appreciate it. Let's get to the 3.
It is now time for the 3. We get you caught up on the 3 biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number 1.
UVA basketball wins first national championship.
They do as they knock off Texas Tech 85-77 in overtime. Over the context of the game, Taz, they had a 10-point lead in half number 1, led by 3 at the half as on a Jerome 3, led by 10 with under 10 minutes to go in regulation. Texas Tech came steamrolling back, actually led by 3 with under 25 seconds to go, did the Red Raiders before the Hunter 3 to tie it. And then a couple of Texas Tech failed possessions later, the game goes to overtime, and Virginia is able to pull away late with under 90 seconds to go. They led the game 74-72. So you look at it for Virginia, they win their first national championship. They were provided a test. I do think the better team won. I think Virginia was the better basketball team, but not always that. Not all the time does that play. Texas Tech gave them everything that they could handle, and really one bad defensive possession for Texas Tech where they did not. Where they left Hunter all alone for a big time 3, which tied the game up late, is going to haunt their head coach, is going to haunt that team this offseason as they fall in OT.
Yeah, as great as a defensive squad Texas Tech has been all year, which earned them the right to play in the national championship game. I mean, you're right. I mean, leaving Hunter open like that, that's going to drive Coach Beard, that's probably going to drive nuts for a while, and watching the game film back whenever they're able to do that probably stings a little too much right now, but both teams were excellent. But UVA, I agree, is the better team, hence why they won it. I had them in our pool to win. I just felt like there would be some redemption. I didn't think it would be, all the different guests we've had on our show here about coaches and experts from the game talking about how Tony Bennett would use that UMBC loss as redemption, as motivation. When I picked them to win, I didn't think it would be that big of redemption. But now hearing all these guests we've had, I believe it. And also, early in the tournament, when they were the 1 seed again and they fell behind the 16 seed, Gardner Webb, and used that. And like you said earlier, Tony Bennett said during that game against Webb, Gardner Webb, don't look at the scoreboard. And it was almost like history was repeating itself.
Right.
So, and those kids able to come back and win that game, and they haven't looked back since. And, now they're natty champs. Congrats to the Cavs.
Yeah, they are. Hunter was great, 27. The big 3, Jerome, Hunter, and Guy for Virginia were fantastic last night for UVA. As, they are, the first team. I mean, they were the first 1 seed to lose to a 16. Then the team bounces back, delivers its first national championship for the men's basketball program, a storied program, the likes of Ralph Sampson, which you saw in attendance last night, Taz, and a great coaching job by Tony Bennett. Not to take anything away, because if we're sitting here, Taz, and it's Chris Beard and it's Texas Tech celebrating, I would not have been surprised. I mean, because I think they're 2 evenly matched teams, and Texas Tech gave themselves every opportunity to win that game late. It's just a play here, and it's a play there, and it's their stars for Virginia playing a lot better than the big 3 for Texas Tech.
Yeah, no doubt. And Hey, look, both coaches, great coaches.
No doubt.
I mean, both coaches. We talked a lot about that early. And by the way, anybody who's just listening now, we had a long conversation about the good first hour of our show about this national championship game, different perspective and stuff like that. So you can download the podcast for free, Taz and the Moose, at Apple Podcasts or radio.com, wherever you get your podcast. So you could do that if you want to hear the full content of our conversation about this game.
But congrats to UVA as their campus celebrates, that team celebrates, Bennett and company celebrate, well-deserved honor, a win a national championship in what was a game that was not built up to be great, but ended up being an absolute classic and overtime thriller.
Number two.
Barnes stays at Tennessee after UCLA push.
Yeah, it's interesting. UCLA, Taz, yeah. They're still searching for a head coach, and they fired their head coach well over 100 days ago. They decide to move on, and they flirted with John Calipari. He decided to stay with Kentucky, got a new contract. They flirted with Rick Barnes at Tennessee. He decided to stay in the SEC with the Vols, and he got a brand spanking new contract. Where the hell is UCLA going to go to?
I don't know.
And get themselves a head coach here. And just, Tazzy, you know, sometimes perception and reality are not exactly the same. The perception is that UCLA is a big-time job. Is that the reality of the scenario any longer? As we talked to Tom Pecora earlier this hour, and he brought up, he goes, now, there used to be a handful, maybe a dozen jobs that really played in college basketball.
Right.
I mean, everybody. I mean, a lot of the, if you're in one of these Power 5 conferences and you're a successful head coach, Taz, you're going to get paid. You're going to make two to $5 million a year. Calipari's making $9.25 million at a storied program like Kentucky, but you can make $3-4 million at a program that's not nearly the caliber of Kentucky. So if you're UCLA, you've got to find yourself a head coach here, and this coaching search is making this program look bad.
Yeah, you know, I thought Pecora brought up a good point with that. You know, that there are a lot, like you just mentioned, there's a lot of spots for these men to make livings, to make really good money. And you know, I mean, and all the different conferences are building up. It's not just the Blue Bloods anymore. You know, so many Big Ten programs you could probably make bank at. Even some of the Patriot League programs, you're not going to make the millions upon millions, but you could make a really strong living without having the gun to your head, massive pressure, but make, you know, a couple $1 million. I mean, if you had a real program. Several $1 million. But, you know, the UCLA job, I mean, it's crazy. I would have thought they would have landed someone by now, really. I'm a little surprised. But, you know, I mean, a lot of folks, just a lot of these guys just don't want to go there. And they just, and like, you know, with the Calipari thing we were saying, like you were saying, like, how do you want the guy to leave a place like Kentucky, where he's built there, and you're from less money?
I don't know.
How do you do that? Like, how do you?
Lifestyle? You say you're going to make up the $1.25 million.
Come out to L.A.
Right, because you're in Los Angeles.
Where's UK? Lexington? Is that Kentucky?
Yeah, Lexington.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so it's like, what? You may be right. Maybe that's the sell job. You come to live, come in L.A. Come to L.A.
Yeah. Right, yeah. But if you're going to get Calipari and everything that comes along with it, you've got to at least offer him the same amount of money that he's making at Kentucky.
Yeah.
Taz, I think the other interesting aspect to me is for UCLA is, you know, everyone, they talk about expectations. Are the expectations of the boosters, the fans, unrealistic to what maybe reality should be right now? Because, I mean, Taz, when you think about it, when I think about UCLA, when you think about UCLA, I'm not going to put words in your mouth. I think about Wooden, Walton.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
The greats,
you think about, Lou Alcindor, then Kareem, obviously, who became Kareem and when he changed. So you think about all the greats that played at UCLA, the championships, the titles, and everything. You look at UCLA now, look at Ben Howland, right? Ben Howland went out to UCLA. Had great success. Didn't win, you know, went to Final Fours, Final Four, Final Four. The team ended up failing in the Final Four, but had a lot of tournament success. After a couple of bad, they ended up running them out of town. So, I mean, you look at UCLA, maybe coaches look at that and say, I don't want to deal with that headache. I go there and, you know, we struggle. We have a bad couple years. Even if I had successful 5 or 6 years, they're going to run me right out of town.
I interviewed an OU guy, too. Kruger, wasn't he interviewed for these?
Kruger,
I think he was interviewed too for the UCLA job. Yeah, yeah. So who knows? Maybe I mean, these guys are not young guys. I mean, how old he's?
Lon Kruger's been around a while.
That's what I mean. He's been around a while. Barnes has got to be early 60s.
Yes,
right. So I mean,
imagine.
You know, we're over here talking about a guy like at Texas Tech and Chris Beard. What is he? What'd you say? 46 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, young guys, you know, that you could.
They are. You're right. They are young guys. But, Taz, they got to get talent there. But you're right. I mean, are they looking at But you got to be careful also at UCLA. I mean, there's a lot that goes into recruiting. I mean, if you're Kentucky, you're recruited on a national landscape. I get you can do that in UCLA, but it's also building up relationships in Los Angeles. Mm. You know, there's the AAU coaches, yeah. Everything that comes along with it, mm-hmm. The brand of basketball. And high school guys want to have a coach that they're going to play for that's going to turn out pros. That's the one thing Calipari, you walk in and you look at the amount of guys that he's had drafted in the NBA in the first round. You say, I want to go play for Calipari.
Of course, he knows that he's got the secret sauce. It's like Saban with the NFL. I mean, all the players that Saban's pumping out of the Crimson Tide to go play in the NFL. I mean, but like Mikey B said, maybe Luke Walton. Maybe Walton's a guy that gets that job, right? Who knows?
Yeah, maybe it is. Maybe they do go Luke Walton.
Could happen.
It could happen. It wouldn't be the worst hire in the
world.
Just
got to avoid LeBron. I mean, that's
yes,
the key.
That's it, right.
I'm the best player in
the
world.
You got to avoid LeBron. That's right. The key right there.
Right. He walks in Pauley Pavilion. There's LeBron James working out. He's
working
like,
out.
Can you just leave me alone?
What are you doing here?
Right. I'm in Westwood now. Can you just go wherever you need to go? Leave me alone. Why are you haunting me?
As soon as Walton leaves the meeting, you know, James is like, yo, you can hire that dude? Really?
Right.
Come on, man.
Right. They'd hire Luke Walton, and then all of a sudden Walton steps into his office, and they're like, by the way, we're shutting down Pauley Pavilion. They're taping Space Jam 2.
LeBron has eligibility.
Right.
That's right. He's got eligibility. I think. You want to be a Bruin.
Next.
Number 3.
Rodgers calls the story that portrayed him as difficult a smear attack.
Yeah, Bleacher Report column. We discussed it last week. 8,000-word piece, Taz. Mike McCarthy, the former Packers head coach, massages, meetings, didn't come off that well. Aaron Rodgers painted as a guy, a little ornery, a guy that angry, didn't have a good relationship with McCarthy. We've heard the stories about him changing the plays in the huddle. He said it was a couple of former teammates that were out that had a vendetta. It was a smear campaign, digging up old stories. I mean, I don't know what to believe. It's going on in Green Bay. We broke it down and analyzed it earlier. It's a mess. LaFleur's walking into a scenario that he's got a lot to do for a young head coach, which is, you would think that would be, okay, let's go win. He's got a lot to handle,
man,
in there with Rodgers, with Murphy, with all the egos in that Packers organization, and specifically with an older quarterback. Anytime athletes are getting older and they're no longer what they once were, I'm not saying Rodgers can't play, he can, but you mean to tell me that entire story is fictitious? There might be some things in there that aren't necessarily true. I have a hard time believing it's all made up. I really do. I mean, I really do. But Rodgers went on the offensive yesterday. We want our athletes to protect themselves. He certainly did yesterday.
Yeah, no, he did. And, I mean, you're right. What you're saying right there about Matt LaFleur, the new head coach there of the Packers. Dude, I do not envy this guy one iota, because I'm just saying, you know, dealing with Aaron Rodgers and just that front office and some of the stuff that's happened, it sounds like if they don't start, once the season starts,
yeah,
if they don't start winning right away, the Packers, this guy LaFleur, he's going to have gray hair real quick. He's a young guy.
Yes.
And that dude is going to be loaded with gray hair before you know it. I mean, you know, I don't know, man. It's a tough spot because you got a guy like Rodgers who's going to go down as one of the greats. Obviously, amazing, amazing player. But you got a head coach who's 39 years old. Okay, how old's Rodgers? Do we know how old he's? 34,
I'd say he's
33. He's younger
than
Eli,
35.
Right? He's younger than Eli, right? So,
yeah,
it's a couple of years younger than the head coach. I mean, so 35. You were right, Moose. So, you know, this could get ugly. You know,
yeah,
it really
right.
Can.
Yeah, I mean, it can. Now
he defended himself.
He did. But I think it's difficult.
But you broke it down earlier. Let me interrupt you. You broke down the detective work on what he said.
Well, in his statement, you know, and he said bringing old stories up or old stuff up.
Yeah.
And anytime anyone says old stuff, that means
something of it
happened.
Something was there, right?
Right. There's truth there, right? No one says if I hear something, if I'm like, hey, I saw pigs flying this morning,
right?
Or whatever, or you know, you bring up something that's completely made up, doesn't make any sense. You'd be like, what are you serious? Pigs don't fly.
Right.
If you bring up something all of a sudden that did transpire, but Taz, I had moved on, you had moved on, whatever it is in a relationship, you had moved on mentally, you're going to say, oh, why are you bringing that old stuff up?
Right.
Why would you go back there? We're talking about this. Why would you bring up what happened 6-8 months ago, 2 years ago? So from reading that, I get a sense that even though some of the stuff, he was very bold in his statements, I believe there's a little truth or a lot of truth to what was written. He just is upset that maybe some of those old stories are coming out right now.
Yeah, and for those that are just joining, like us, just heard Moose say what he said. He was talking about former players that are bitter.
Right,
Aaron Rodgers, this is.
They have an agenda.
They have an agenda, and they're taking shots at him and all that stuff. And like Moose said, and what Aaron Rodgers said, is bringing up old stuff. So, and like I said earlier, if Aaron Rodgers says they're making stuff up, or they're just bringing, making stuff up is different than saying old stuff. I know it's semantics, but it's,
It's true, right?
It's true, right? It makes statements.
Well, here's the other thing. He also said he's well-liked, right? If you're well-liked, why would anyone have a smear campaign?
Yeah, it's like saying I'm well-liked. I mean, I understand what not being well-liked is. He's not well-liked. Aaron, trust me, I'm not well-liked. So I know what it's like to be unliked. Trust me, I know this.
Yes.
And I'm not liked. And so, Aaron, I'm telling you, you're like me.
No,
you're unliked.
You're loved, Dad.
No, I'm not. My wife loves me. That's it. And my son. Well, nobody else. But that's okay.
I want
love for the people I work with, just like Aaron Rodgers wants love from his teammates. But when you are a major success like Rodgers, like Taz, this is what happens. Then there's bitterness, there's anger, there's jealousy, there's anguish, there's pain, there's suffering. There's all these negative adjectives.
Well said.
Thank you.
855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose. We've got the undercard. So you got Rodgers defending himself. You've got UVA is your national champ. And the UCLA head coaching search is still ongoing. As Rick Barnes says, thanks but no thanks. Your big three headlines on this Tuesday morning. Come back to the undercard. That's next. Taz, Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
You know, I gotta tell you, I'm really proud of my accomplishment.
Finishing second in the pool.
Yeah.
Nice job.
The more I look at it, it's really impressive. I mean, me, Adam Tepe, Mike Shashashashashinsky, and Tim Krella. But these people are not at my level. No disrespect towards them. And here I am sitting in the two hole. I took second place. I'm very proud of this, Moose. I'm letting you know that. And hundreds of people were in this pool.
Yeah,
And here I am, dude. I mean, like, it's something else, man. It really is. And you know, you didn't think much that I would do well. Neither did Mike, Pete, neither. There were jokes shot at me and from the cool kids at the station here. You're a dumb wrestler. You don't know what you're doing. You can't pick college basketball, and here I am. Just finished second. Well,
yeah. No, you did a great job.
Thank you. Okay. And there's some people some people on social media feel like it was downplayed on the show, like it wasn't made a big enough deal. I'm just letting you know what our audience is saying. I've seen these reports on Twitter. I'm just letting you know that.
All right,
well, because it's my demeanor, it's not good. So a lot of people here don't like me and
hard-ass Joe.
So it's like that's just the repercussions, and there's no, like, let's just say Mikey B was finished in second. There'd be a parade.
I think we'd all move on quickly.
You think so?
Yes, I do.
So you don't think we downplayed this?
No, we brought it up twice.
Don't rain on my parade.
I think we've given it the proper attention.
Yeah.
Wow. Yes, congratulations.
And I never said you were a dumb wrestler.
No. All right. Here's the undercard.
Taz and the Moose present the undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
It's hard to do that, Moose. There's hundreds of people in this spot. Go ahead.
Everybody's favorite to win the Super Bowl, the Cleveland Browns.
Who's favorite?
I'm just being clear. Their quarterback, Baker Mayfield, with a helium message for all of Cleveland.
Yeah, guys, just really excited for the season. Just want you guys to know that I'm working really hard. We're going to have a great season, and let's go Browns.
Nice.
Sounds like bogus.
Let's go Browns.
Very nice. Nice job. I love the helium voice.
I do, too. I think it's funny. Very funny. We should do that. A whole show I'd love to do with helium. 3 hours, Jones.
Would that be good for your health if you can do that? sucking in helium.
Maybe you should try it. I think it's actually good for your lungs, Moose. You should give it a whirl when you go
maybe
home.
Maybe I should.
Yeah.
All right, next.
Working really hard.
The Athletic did a poll. Anonymous NBA players voted. And Russell Westbrook and Draymond Green were voted most overrated. Do you agree with the NBA players?
Wait, that they're overrated?
The most overrated players in the league.
I don't I don't think so. Neither, especially Westbrook. He's not overrated. The guy's got more heart. He's got the most high octane motor out of, I would say, almost anybody in the NBA. I mean, the way he plays, how hard he plays. Just going by guys that just grind every second of a game. I mean, Russell Westbrook. I mean, Draymond. I like Draymond too, but I wouldn't call him overrated either. Moose.
Well, it's interesting. You look at the two personalities of the individuals. Westbrook is certainly ball in the hands, ball dominated guard, which takes a different type of teammate to succeed with him. I mean, he drove Durant crazy. That's why he went to Golden State. So, and you look at Draymond Green, who's one of the great trash talkers in the NBA. This kind of success was never expected for him coming out of Michigan State. Even though I said at the time I thought he'd be a good pro, I thought he'd be really good. I didn't think he'd turn out to be this caliber of player because he's a flat out winner. And Izzo talked about that coming out of Michigan State. It's interesting you look at the personalities of the two guys and why their vote is the most overrated. You look at the jealousy, the attention that Westbrook has gotten. And you look at the fact that Draymond Green makes no bones about it. I mean, he talks trash every day of the week and twice on Sunday. So. I mean, I find it fascinating. I don't think they're the two most overrated guys in the NBA. I think their personality and being maybe a guys that can rub some people the wrong way maybe has a little bit to do with this kind of polling.
Yeah, no, I agree. Jealousy. That's what happens. I live that every day. Next!
Just really excited for the season.
Johnny Manziel has changed his name. Oh, he's God. Now John Manziel.
That's tremendous.
You like the name change?
Yes.
No, but it's funny the way you said it. You made it better.
Yeah.
I think he needs to. I think on this, I could speak for Moose. I think Manziel, now what happened with the AAF and the chicken wings in the end zone, he needs to go away. Enough with Manziel. Bye-bye. Go away, John Manziel, Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, two-hand golf, left-hand Johnny, whatever your name is, Bobby Barbecue Johnny Golf. I don't care who you are, Johnny Manziel. Go away. You stunk. You stink. Bye-bye.
Mike, in that story, who's he working out with? Ephraim Salam? He's working out with a former NFL player now whose name is slipping my mind.
Not Abdul Salam. Remember him from the New York Stock Exchange in 1974?
No.
Defensive attack? I'm going old school. That's old school.
Yeah, no, he's working out with...
George Whitfield?
Oh, that's it, George Whitfield. Okay.
John Manziel.
There? Yeah, I don't know. That's his own.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think of one.
I think we're at minute 20 for a John Manziel.
What?
Of the 15 minutes.
Oh. I got it. John Manziel. Yeah, dude. Next.
I can't believe they just did that. Wow.
And finally, Charmin has introduced the Forever Roll.
Hold on a second. Charmin the TP?
Yep.
Got it.
Okay. It's supposed to last you a month. It's gigantic.
What do you reuse it? Hold on. Is it like reusable?
No, it's just so big that it can last you a month.
How does it fit on the toilet?
Size of a tire?
Well, it's the same size roll. The diameter is just 12 inches. So it's 12 inches. And it lasts a month.
Hey, look, when I'm in the John, I don't need nothing 12 inches.
I mean, I don't know.
Well, how does it fit on the toilet paper holder?
Well, it's the same size.
You need a vise.
It's the same size roll hole.
The circumference roll.
The circumference.
Circumference
is the same.
Is the word you're looking for.
And it just, I haven't experimented with it, so I can't answer you
exactly.
I thought
it was reusable toilet paper. That'd be disgusting.
I don't think that's what's going on.
That's holy gross. God, that's like, yeah.
What does that go for? What are they selling that for?
$9.99 for the ultra soft.
For how many?
$10 to wipe your buttocks?
Wait, $10 for one, but it's going to last a month.
It lasts you the month.
Oh, that's what they say. All right.
Oh, my God.
Go get the Super Roll.
What a way to end the show.
Mike, Pete, great job. Tom Pecora for joining us earlier on the program. Make sure to check out the podcast, radio.com. And Apple Podcast. Taz, have a good Tuesday, bud.
You too. Have a great day.
Peace.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.